From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, the Sacro herring fishery in Sitka closed early after the Alaska Department of Fish and Game determined the fish were too small to put on the market. Also in Sitka, an application for a private nonprofit hatchery fails once again. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Sitka Sacro herring fishery has shut down early this year, falling 8,330 tons short of the guideline harvest level. This is the fourth time in 6 years the herring fishery has shut down before meeting the quota. KCAW's Emily Kwong reports.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game made the closure announcement over VHF radio after aerial surveys failed to spot herring schools of marketable size. Area management biologist Eric Kunrat said the decision was made in consultation with processors, who found the fish too small for market standards. Processors buy herring from the fleet and harvest roe for sale to Japan. Here's Kunrat.
We've had some attrition of the fleet that's in town. We've had some attrition of processors that are in town. And so it just seemed like the writing was kind of on the wall.
The fleet has been on standby since March 20th. At the start, the six processors involved, including the local Silver Bay Seafoods and Sitka Sound Seafoods, wanted herring that weighed an average of 125 to 130 grams. ADF&G forecasted the average weight for the biomass would be 106 grams, so already below market standard. Kunrat said there was one chance to catch herring of that size on March 25th, the first opening of the fishery, and the fleet missed the opportunity.
They stayed deep until they spawned, and that we had one shot at the larger fish, and then gave a second opportunity the next day, and then our, you know, the fish gradually got smaller as the opening went on, and so we closed the fishery, and then we just weren't able to find any marketable fish after that point.
A week and many aerial surveys later, most of the fleet has left town. The Sitka Sacro herring fishery has come under intense scrutiny by local subsistence harvesters in the past 5 years. Sitka Tribe of Alaska sought conservation measures at this year's Board of Fish, but no changes were made to the formula for determining the quota. KCAW asked Kunrat what he thought about this year's management model. Do you have concerns about the management model ADF&G is using in light of this fishery falling 8,000 tons short?
No. We, you know, it's bound to happen in some years. We've got time, and we've got area working against us. You know, it's a short time frame that we're trying to harvest these fish, and some years we're bound to not catch it all, especially when market standards are a pretty high bar to achieve. So, I mean, we could have easily harvested, you know, the quota. But it would have required market standards to be much lower.
Meaning younger fish of a lower weight. Now that management of the fishery has come to a close, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game will continue aerial surveys to gauge just how many fish returned to Sitka this spring. So far, they've measured 13.3 nautical miles of herring spawn. Last year saw 62.3 nautical miles. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
A salmon hatchery permit in Warm Springs Bay near Sitka has been denied after members of the public voiced concern over its location and the impact to local environment. It's the third time in 7 years that a hatchery application has failed in the bay, all submitted by the same individual. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Juneau resident and Warm Springs property owner Dale Young submitted the proposal for the private nonprofit hatchery, the Sustainable Salmon Institute, in November of 2017. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game identified the area as an ideal location for a Chinook hatchery in the 1980s, but the project wasn't pursued. Young also applied for a hatchery permit in 2011 and again in 2012, but his application was denied both times. Warm Springs resident Jim Brennan said it was a big win for the small community, in large part due to the outpouring of opposition at a public hearing in Sitka on February 23rd.
People in Baranof who own cabins there are extremely appreciative of the support that we got from Sitka residents in opposing the hatchery.
Warm Springs Bay, also known as Baranof Warm Springs, is 12 miles due east of Sitka by air and within the Sitka borough. It has about 15 seasonal homes and a summer fishing lodge. In a letter from ADF&G Commissioner Sam Cotton denying Young's application, Cotton acknowledges many comments were received in support of the hatchery, but writes that the opposition from several commercial fishing organizations, as well as strong opposition from the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, NSARA, and the public, bolstered the decision to deny the permit application. NSARA operates Hidden Falls, a hatchery about 10 nautical miles north of Warm Springs that has seen problems with predation in recent years, leaving the hatchery fighting to keep its doors open. While Brennan is relieved, he says he hopes ADF&G can develop policy that limits the number of times someone can reapply for the same hatchery permit.
Each time the Department of Fish and Game has to go through this process, of course, it taxes their resources. They've got plenty of other things to do. It's unfortunate that they repeatedly have had to come up to do this. So we would be hopeful that there'd be some development of a regulation or statute to limit the ability of someone to keep coming back.
According to Alaska regulations on hatchery permits, any hatchery permit that's been denied by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game may be reconsidered by the commissioner if the applicant can provide new information that may have altered the original decision. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
KCAW spoke with Dale Young about this story, but he was unwilling to give an interview by the deadline.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Unalaska is America's fish capital. More seafood is hauled into Dutch Harbor than anywhere in the country. But for residents, it's not easy to find fresh fish unless they catch it themselves. At the local grocery stores, even if seafood was caught in the Aleutians, it's exported before landing in freezer cases. But as Zoe Sobel of Alaska's Energy Desk reports, it's getting a little bit easier to get locally caught seafood on the dinner table.
It doesn't happen often in Unalaska, but fishermen can sell their catch directly to customers. And if you're imagining a fish market, wipe away that image. Buying fresh seafood means going directly to a boat like Roger Rowland's. It's midday on a Wednesday in January, and people are streaming out to the dock to pick out Tanner crab.
Can you have a help for me to carry it to my truck? Because I'm buying like $400 worth for like three families.
Oh, you want four dozen.
Ruby Warden and her daughter Pia are buying 48 crab. Some of it she'll serve to her parents when they visit from Hawaii. And the rest?
I think my other friend, she's taking it to California when she goes on vacation. And the other one is just here.
Local crab hasn't been sold on the dock in 2 years. This is Roland's second time selling crab this season. The first time, they took pre-orders. But today, anyone can buy. It's $12 a crab or 12 for 100 bucks.
This year, they're very nice, very big. It's really encouraging to see the really nice product.
Another way it's getting easier to find local fish is at restaurants. At least all the dining establishments owned by Unicy, one of the big processing plants in town. Vic Fisher, no, not that Vic Fisher, looks forward to Taco Tuesday the way most people look forward to the weekend.
I'm sitting on Monday, I'm thinking about Taco Tuesday.
And he's excited to try tonight's menu. Alaska cod, just off the boat, marinated in chili lime sauce with cabbage slaw and chipotle creme fraiche.
I love fresh caught anything. As they were saying, it's fresh caught, and this is a new thing, absolutely a new thing. So I'm down for it.
The person responsible for all this fresh fish at the restaurant is Brett Richardson, the general manager of the Grand Aleutian Hotel. He's been around for 6 years and says previous managers serve fish from Asia.
I wondered why we weren't serving fish that we caught, if only not having to pay shipping costs. You know, something that's local and something that I think tastes pretty good. You know, should be on the menu.
His first move was to shift the hotel's weekly seafood buffet from a cornucopia of products from around the world to just Alaska fish, cod, pollock, salmon, and scallops. In some ways, dealing with fresh fish makes his job more difficult. He's responsible for picking it up.
We don't have a delivery structure, so I literally just go and drive my little car down there and put it in the trunk, bring it on over.
He can get fish so fresh, it's been off the boat for less than an hour. Workers process the fish on a slime line, and instead of taking it to the freezers as they would for international customers, they walk it out to Richardson. Even with his three restaurants at the hotel and a few more nearby starting to serve local seafood, it's still not easy to find fresh fish on the island. So why is it so challenging? Richardson says it could be similar to why you can't get good coffee in Java, Indonesia.
The only thing they had there available for anybody was Nescafe. They export all of their coffee because other markets will pay, you know, much more premium prices for that.
Because of the seasonal nature of Alaska's fisheries, there won't be fish this fresh available year-round. The prime season, Richardson says, is at the beginning of the year, but he thinks they'll likely still have local cod through the end of April. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
The emergency stop button on a machine could mean the difference between a lost finger and a lost arm. And when it comes to one machine on fishing vessels, winches, the risk is there. So why aren't more fishermen in Alaska buying into an emergency stop button that's been around since 2007? The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, is trying to find out. KMXT reports.
Vendors gather in a room for Kodiak's annual commercial fisheries trade show, Comfish. Brad Tibbs is manning the booth for Colstrand, a fisheries equipment business based out of Seattle. Colstrand sells their winches with optional emergency stop buttons, but Tibbs says they haven't taken off.
The thing that we've been fighting constantly now for 10 years that we've worked on this project has been a cost issue.
He says the model of winch at the booth goes for around $18,000. Adding the e-stop kit cranks up the price another $3,000. Tibbs says many fishermen on smaller vessels are reluctant to make the investment.
A lot of guys see the use for it. I've talked to lots of salmon skippers that have actually been injured themselves by winches, and you know, some of them were almost career-ending injuries, but yet they opt not to spend the money to be able to put that safety system in place because they don't really see the likelihood of that happening again.
A couple of NIOSH representatives are in Alaska trying to figure out why e-stop buttons aren't catching on. Tristan Victoroff says a high number of non-fatal injuries are associated with winches, and NIOSH developed the e-stop button in 2007 as a preventative measure. Yet, so far, they've found that only 2% of purse seiners have signed on. Victoroff spoke to a small audience at Comfish and appealed to the fishermen in the room.
Contact us, participate in our study. We'd like to do some, you know, a little more in-depth interviews.
He says there are a number of other things NIOSH is developing, and they want to make sure their next tool is more widely used. For KMXT, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KCAW's Emily Kwong and Catherine Rose in Sitka, and the Alaska Energy Desk's Zoe Sobel in Alaska. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.